one person dies from opioid abuse every 30 minutes in this country, so a Utah senator wants tighter controls to stop that.
But critics say it won't be enough. Our live team coverage, The War on Drugs, begins with KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour. Peter?
Amanda, 289 Utahns died of opioid abuse in 2014, so Senator Orrin Hatch is pushing a bill to limit access to high-powered painkillers through Medicare. He says it has bipartisan support and already matches regulations through other programs.
Having opioids prescribed by one physician instead of multiple doctors will result in better patient care and reduced abuse. It will also make it more likely that a beneficiary with a problem gets the help they need.
Critics say simply curbing painkiller suppliers won't end addiction, so they want better treatment, prevention, and enforcement programs too. Opioid pills sell for $50 each on the streets, more expensive than heroin.
The reason that people have switched from prescription opiates to heroin is availability and cost. When the feds started choking down the access, in effect, to opiates, and then it became so expensive in the black market, then people went to heroin because it is so cheap now. I will tell you that the Mexican drug cartels saw this. They have now flooded the United States with heroin. And so we've basically created, or they have helped create, this whole pool of addicts that switch from opiates to heroin. I will tell you, in 30 plus years in working with addicted people in the justice system, they literally lose their soul to these drugs.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. A new law is changing the availability of a drug that can almost immediately counter the effects of an opiate-based drug overdose.
Emergency medical responders have carried the drug for years. Now police in Cottonwood Heights, Salt Lake City, and Emory and Carbon counties will begin carrying rescue kits. And one group is working to get it into the hands of more users and their families. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke has more.
Pull off red safety guard.
This is the sound of a naloxone auto-injector kit. It's by far the most expensive of so-called rescue kits, now much more available to many more people here in Utah. Theo Haskins used a more common nasal mist kit to save her son's life just days after she had obtained it.
I was yelling at him, shaking him, pushing him. The puppy was jumping on his head, trying to get his attention, and there was no response.
In the past 9 months, Utah Naloxone has handed out hundreds of rescue kits, and they say so far they can account for 46 lives saved.
It's something that we're very happy to hear, but on the flip side of it, it's also something that's very alarming.
Sam Plum and his sister Jennifer founded Utah Naloxone to help get it into the hands of more people. Their brother died of an overdose 20 years ago.
His friends at the time decided that they would hide the drugs in the garden out front and leave him to die. Naloxone wasn't legal at the time. This was 20 years ago, at least for people to carry, and it absolutely would have saved his life.
Within the next couple of months, Salt Lake City police officers will begin carrying the drug as part of a pilot program.
They're going to initially start with their bicycle police, mainly because they're in the areas that are hardest hit in Salt Lake City. Plus, they're the people that are oftentimes first on the scene.
Emergency responders like Unified Fire Captain Kirk Burge generally support the idea, but
it's not going to be something that is going to go out and save everybody. They still need to call 911. They still need to be evaluated.
And Plum points out it is not a panacea. In many cases, overdoses are not witnessed and the victim is found too late. But it is a tool, and Haskins believes it has given her son a second chance.
He said he woke up and seeing me standing over him crying, and then a whole room full of paramedics and firemen and police, and made him realize, oh my gosh, this is really bad.
Surprisingly, the research has shown that not only does having naloxone available lead to less overdoses, of course, but it also leads to a higher level of entry into treatment.
Federal grants and donations from the University of Utah and Intermountain Healthcare have funded many of the kits.
Health officials are promoting an event this weekend to take back unused prescription drugs. They say Utah is fourth in the country for prescription overdose deaths. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has details.
As officials with the Department of Health looked over the data from 2014, they saw some alarming numbers.
300 people died in Utah as a result of a drug overdose death.
Angela Stander with the Department of Health says opioid pain meds are the most dangerous when it comes to overdosing. A lot of these deaths are accidental, others are from overprescription, and some were caused when someone with the drugs shared them with somebody who didn't need them.
It's become really common that people will just ask your neighbors or your friends if they know that you might have some.
You can find prescription drop boxes by logging on to useonlyasdirected.org. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Salt Lake City Police and the DEA are also holding a drug take-back event this Saturday. They say people can turn over pills and patches for free with no questions asked. Police say last September, Americans turned over 350 tons of prescription drugs during similar take-back events.
We've told you about Theo Haskins using a naloxone rescue kit to save her son from an overdose. But initially getting that kit was not easy.
Every doctor I went to, I asked for a prescription and they wouldn't do it. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't know about the laws.
Her story was featured in a video at the recent American Red Cross Heroes Luncheon.
Addiction is a chronic, relapsing brain disease, and it's a lifelong journey. And naloxone gives the addicts a second chance, a third chance, fourth chance, whatever it takes to get them well again.
Haskins belongs to a social media group called The Addict's Mom.
I think it's worldwide now, like 100,000 moms. That all shared almost the exact same stories.
Some of those stories have sad endings.
Well, there's been like almost daily posts lately of mom saying, I got the dreaded call today. And that's all they'll say, you know, and then I'll get thousands of replies, of course. I'm so sorry.
Many, like her son, started with prescription drugs.
I would say just from the support group that probably 80 to 90% are... All started with pain pills.
We're fourth in the nation currently for prescription drug overdose deaths.
Prescription drug overdose prevention coordinator for the Utah Department of Health, Angela Stander, says many of those deaths involve opioids.
We assume that if it's prescribed by a doctor, that it's safe. That is not the case. So helping the public understand that these are risky substances.
Ones that can lead to abuse or to heroin is a cheaper alternative, or ones that when mixed with other prescription drugs can be deadly. The health department has identified the problem by region.
Demographically, Carbon and Emery counties are top highest in overdose deaths, and Ogden, downtown Ogden in Weber County, and also Taylorsville.
Hardly areas you might expect. But Sam Plum of Utah Naloxone tries to underscore, addicts can be hardly the people you might expect.
This isn't some different person. This isn't some person that has thrown their life away by any means. This truly is every person. This could be anyone, and their lives matter just as much as mine.
Plum says the problem involves every demographic. Mark Duke, KSL News Radio.
Opioids can help and hurt so many people, and the painkillers can be so easily abused. But for some, they have no choice in their addiction.
Babies born addicted to opioids have jumped around the nation and here in Utah. Health Quality Improvement Director Julia Johnson says Utah's percentage quintupled over the last 10 years.
This year, we've just put some variables on the Utah birth certificate, but hopefully are going to allow us to be able to look at illicit drug use, opioids, which are heroin and opium versus prescription drugs like Percocets and Vicodins and those types of things. But historically, they've kind of been lumped together. And I think the main reason for their increase is the increase in the prescription of prescription opioid drugs.
Johnson says doctors should not be completely blamed.
Doctors are definitely trying to help, whether these are they're prescribing drugs for chronic pain that women experienced before they became pregnant, or whether it's pain that they're experiencing during pregnancy. You know, there's a lot of different symptoms. Prescribing doctors just has to be really careful about who they're prescribing to make sure that they are screening women on their intention to become pregnant, especially if they're women within their childbearing years.
Park City Police are sending out a warning about a synthetic drug that for the moment is still legal. KSL News Radio's Brianna Bodley joins us live with more on Pink. Brianna?
Amanda, the warning to Park City parents came out last night. The school district explaining concern over this drug because it isn't technically illegal yet and can be extremely lethal in even small doses. The drug comes in both powder and liquid forms, and the district warns it can still be easily bought online. So in the press release, they actually urged parents to go through their kids' things and search for the drug in case their student didn't understand just how dangerous it can be.
Joining us live on the KSL Newsline is Park City School District Superintendent Dr. Amber Conley. Tell us what we know about this drug, Pink, Dr. Conley.
One of the things that we've been learning is, first of all, that it's legal, meaning that you can order it over the internet, and that's exactly what the information that we've received is happening. So our students, our kids in Utah can get online and order this substance. In fact, yesterday, this is a brand new one to me, and I kind of think that I'm up on, the trends of our teenagers, and our filters never went through and just let me go straight to where you could order it.
How did they know that Iron County, how did they know that it was this pink They were called, and it was actually in his possession. He was holding it. It's so deadly many times that it's immediately, upon ingestion, it will kill them immediately.
Not always.
It's been a few months ago.
So have you seized any from your apartment?
We have not.
Wonder about the first family. Are they comfortable with their child's name being released? And also, when and where did that occur?
That also occurred at the other child's residence, and I have not had a chance to talk to their parents as far as release on that. I would say that I do know that we don't know a cause of death on that, and until we have one, I think it would be inappropriate to release that information.
We have our Cleon Wall, who is standing by in the KSL 24-hour news center with our lead story.
Doug, we begin with breaking news here on KSL News Radio. Two 13-year-old boys are dead, and Park City police are trying to determine if it was the result of a synthetic opioid that some are calling pink. Chief Wade Carpenter says how Ryan Ainsworth and Grant Seaver died is still unknown.
Potentially, this pink could possibly be a cause. We don't know that. There was nothing to suggest at the scene that it was ingested, and so we're in the process of that investigation now. However, we are looking at all social media.
Chief Carpenter says one boy died on Sunday and another this morning. They were not in the same location. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke will have much more on this story coming up on Utah's New News.
State and local leaders are trying to figure out how to stop Utah's growing opioid addiction problem. Park City police say two 13-year-olds have died over the past couple of days, and they're looking to see if the deaths can be connected to a type of synthetic drug that's becoming popular among teenagers in the state. Now we go live to Park City and get an update now from KSL News Radio's Mark Juke. Mark?
Maria, right now police say there's no real evidence of any kind of a connection between the two deaths or between that and a drug known as pink, a synthetic drug. The school district says the 13-year-old boys were good friends. They've also recently received a warning about this drug from the state, a synthetic opioid, and Park City Police Chief Wade Carpenter says right now no direct evidence that they're related to pink, but they wanted to err on the side of precaution.
We just know that there's a lot of social media chatter, meaning that a lot of kids are discussing this. We do know that the drug is in this town, in Salt Lake, and in other communities.
And they say it's very easily accessible and marketed to especially older teenagers, they're saying. They're drugs that can be easily found from an internet search and will sometimes even pass through school filters. So they're urging parents to really be aware and know what their children are doing and know where they're visiting and what kind of sites that they're into as they investigate these deaths. Live, Mark Duke, KSL News Radio.
State and local leaders, meantime, are trying to figure out how to stop the growing opioid addiction problem in the state. KSL News Radio's Peter Samer reports from Salt Lake County headquarters.
The experts want to balance prosecuting real drug criminals and helping people who are self-medicating with opioids. That could include changing some laws. Salt Lake County DA Sim Gill told leaders greater Medicare expansion could provide more funds and treatment options for those who are abusing heroin or other people's prescriptions.
The state is launching a syringe exchange program that may not cut down drug abuse, but hopefully infectious diseases transmitted through old syringes. DEA agents and federal attorneys say a drug problem far bigger than regular opioids is in Utah, and the death toll could be massive. Agents say drug dealers are adding fentanyl into pills, making them look like prescription drugs like oxycodone. Now, the drug can be 10,000 times more potent than morphine. Brian Besser with the DEA says drug users are being tricked into thinking that they're buying pills that they've tried before.
And they go to the same dealer next week, buy the same pill with the same markings, so they think, and they die from it.
We've been telling you today about a new drug called pink. Pink appears to have hit Utah already. Park City police say it could have claimed two lives. As a parent, you may be asking, okay, how do I make sure my kids understand the danger? How can I talk with them about it? Dr. Zane Horowitz is the medical director of the Utah Poison Control at the University of Utah. He's joining us live now on the Newsline. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming on board here.
Yep, thank you.
We all tend to think of our kids as good kids. Mine would never touch this kind of stuff. Is it necessary to have the conversation anyway?
Oh, yes. I think it's important to have not only the conversation once, but probably multiple times. And every time there's a teachable moment or a news item, or even if it's not in the state of Utah, I think it's worth bringing up and letting them know that experimenting with drugs or pills or something your friends give you can have fatal consequences, as it did perhaps in this instance.
Right. When should a parent think about searching backpacks or searching bedrooms for these kinds of dangerous drugs?
Well, that's a judgment call, how well you know your kids and how well, unfortunately, you may or may not trust your kids. Certainly things to look out for with these drugs are they tend to be imported by mail order, and it's not just this new U-series drugs, but there's lots of other opiates that are out there that are being sold as substitutes for heroin. And I know it's hard to think of heroin and 13-year-olds in the same sentence, but it's not unheard of. If you see things coming in the mail from places you don't know, I think it's reasonably worth asking your children, what's in there? What did you get?
It's a chilling thought, not only worrying about who your kid's hanging out with, and that kid might be a pusher, but it just shows up in the mailbox?
Yeah, this stuff, unfortunately, because of the loopholes in the law right now, is people go online and search the internet, and there's sites that will sell you the stuff. Most of it is sold from other countries, mostly in Asia, a good part of it in China, and it just gets mailed or remailed to places in the United States.
So you have to talk to your kids and watch your doorstep and what, search browser history?
Yeah, I don't think it's that unreasonable to ask what they're looking at on the internet, and maybe they'd like to talk about what they're looking at so you can help explain to them what it means and what the dangers are out there, because it can be a dark and dangerous place.
What the heck is this stuff? Where has it come from? Why is it so available? And why is it so lethal?
Well, it's a synthetic opioid that we are starting to see in the United States in 2015 and 2016. We've primarily seen it on the East Coast, but we have had some confirmed deaths in Utah earlier this year. Primarily we've seen it come from Chinese suppliers, and it's typically accessed by purchasing it off of the internet.
Is it as lethal? Is it as dangerous as the chief up in Park City portrayed it to be?
Well, because of limited scientific data, the potency and toxicity of it are not known. But because we know that it has caused several deaths throughout the U.S., I've seen reports of 15 to 30. We want to take every precaution.
KSL's top story. Park City Police and school staff are revealing a few new details as they investigate the deaths of two 13-year-old boys, along with a suicide attempt involving a high schooler.
Police still don't know if it's all connected, but school officials say a 15-year-old who attempted suicide this morning was within a circle of friends of the two boys who died this week. The school wants people to know help is available in many forms, and they say there's evidence now the boys had used some experimental substances before. Superintendent Dr. Ember Conley says they've also been searching lockers.
We found a substance in a very much like the picture that's been sent out. In one of the lockers, we've sent it to the lab. It's come back that there is some methamphetamine.
Conley says many students and parents have been very cooperative in providing information.
It's becoming increasingly tough for law enforcement to keep up with all the synthetic drugs that keep hitting the market, and some of them are not very easily detectable.
What's so interesting about this is that some of them are legal and some of them are not, and I'm not sure how much that affects law enforcement at the time arrive. But joining us live is ABC News crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Brad, we've been talking a lot in the last couple of days about a new drug that we're concerned about here in Utah called Pink. Can you explain more to us about this synthetic drug?
Yeah, it's been alleged to be 7 to 10 times stronger or more powerful than morphine. Now, keep in mind, opioids are painkillers, which are also primarily respiratory depressants. So what happens is you take too many of them, in effect, overdose, but maybe inadvertently, and it just shuts you down. You just stop breathing, and that's why you die. So that sounds like what you may have in your two middle school kids in Park City, that's just what happened to them by maybe only taking one pill.
And Brad, we're talking about this drug, Pink, and in all of our scripts that we've been saying, at least over the past couple of days, we say, which is still legal. How difficult is it for law enforcement to try to attack some of these things and to change the rules to make some of these, you know, new synthetic drugs illegal and quickly?
Well, I won't say it's impossible, But it's such a daunting task, because here's the issue, Brian, is that my guess is that these kids got this quote unquote pink, as it's called, drug via the internet. And now, how do you control that? I mean, DEA has a hand in that to a certain extent, but trying to keep up with all of the websites, it's like any other type of behavior or activity you're trying to change, trying to control it, I'm just not sure that that's realistic. I mean, this really boils down to a large extent in how we deal with kids. You know, you can educate them all you want, but you basically have to persuade them. This is all about persuasion that, look, the repercussions of doing drugs and alcohol can affect what you want to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And that's really what you have to get kids hooked on, is the future of what it's going to do to them. You know, I get the whole idea that we should try everything we can to keep these off the streets. I'm just not sure it's realistic that we can do that to any great extent.
So we have to make them not want it. Can I ask a question? About, I mean, a child or an adult, for that matter, couldn't buy morphine over the internet. So how are they buying a synthetic imitator of morphine?
Because what they do, Amanda, is change the molecules. Just they tweak them just a little bit where it does not fit DEA's definition of morphine. Even though it in effect does exactly the same thing, its molecular structure is slightly off. And that's what happens in a lot of these drugs. They tweak it in such a way that it doesn't fit the definition. And my guess is, I don't know enough about pink yet, that it may well fall into that category.
The new drug crisis. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Utah is on high alert because of pink, a synthetic opioid made on the streets that has killed two people in Utah and is under investigation for connection to two more deaths of those middle schoolers in Park City. Law enforcement is working to stop pink, and an emergency room doctor is actually telling us to remain calm. KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour has this in-depth report.
Make no mistake, pink is a deadly prospect.
Unfortunately, it's abuse Russian roulette, because you don't know what you're getting.
DEA agent in charge for Utah, Brian Besser, says more clandestine labs are making this synthetic opioid and just now fooling people in the Beehive State.
What they're buying is a pill that was made in a hotel room by an individual that does not know what they're doing, and in a coffee grinder, they've mixed heroin and fentanyl.
Park City police say Chinese companies are marketing pink to teenagers online, but substance number U47700 has no medical use.
That's why DEA has recently moved to classify that in an emergency capacity as a Schedule I drug.
That takes effect October 7th federally. At the state level, it means a new legislative fight that fortunately has some precedence.
If we can just get the general compound, I think we'll be okay. That's the lesson we learned on Spice, was get the right compound, not go after the formula.
Clearfield Representative Paul Ray once led the successful fight to illegalize compounds in synthetic marijuana. Legislators were fast, but as Ray learned in a raid, crooked chemists were faster.
They already had our bill. My bill was sitting in their desk, and they were already working on the formula for next year.
Primary Children's Emergency Room doctor Jennifer Plum knows the legal struggle all too well, but it doesn't matter to her.
An opioid is an opioid is an opioid.
Natural or man-made.
It looks exactly the same, and unfortunately, it kills you the exact same way.
Dr. Plum says her colleagues must prescribe fewer opioids that could be made into pink and create other problems.
What was initially given to you to help you feel better, now you get through that acute crisis and you now have developed a dependence on a substance.
But Dr. Plum says pink is just the latest synthetic drug crisis that can be fought with an antidote called naloxone.
If someone overdoses on an opiate, it's absolutely what EMTs will give, it's what I will give in the ER.
And of course, constant discussion between parents and children.
KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report, a Davis County man is recovering after overdosing on a powerful new synthetic drug.
Police have been sounding the alarm about pink in recent weeks. KSL News Radio's Brianna Bodley joins us live with more. Brianna?
Tim, the drug is still technically legal, but law enforcement is pushing this message across the state. Pink isn't safe.
What they're buying is a pill that was made in a hotel room by an individual that does not know what they're doing.
And DEA agent Brian Besser says the result can be extremely dangerous. A Davis County man found that out the hard way after the Standard Examiner reports he overdosed on just a pinch of the stuff, forcing officers to use three times the normal amount of naloxone to revive him. The sheriff's office does not plan to press charges because, again, the drug is still technically legal.
Joining us live in studio is Dr. Mark Hyatt, Executive Medical Director of Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield of Utah. And Dr. Hyatt, I saw that you testified this week on the subject of opioid abuse to the Health and Human Services Committee at the Utah Legislature. And I wonder if you would share some of what you testified about, beginning, if you would, about defining the problem.
Sure, Amanda. This is a huge problem. Our country is really in the midst of a crisis, of an epidemic related to prescription opioid overdoses. Now, the amount of opioids prescribed in this country since 1999 has quadrupled, but the amount of pain that Americans experience really hasn't changed. And so this is an epidemic that really is devastating American lives, families, and communities.
How many lives are we talking about here?
Brian, by the end of today, 40 Americans will die because of prescription opioid overdose.
Wow.
So why are the number of prescriptions going up so much? We're given a prescription for opioids after we have a surgery, or I want to respect the fact that many people are in pain. How does the addiction develop?
Well, Amanda, truly many Americans do need opioids. They're in pain, they're suffering, and these are very effective means of relieving that pain. The problem is that they also have their risks, and one very real risk is the risk of addiction. In fact, about 1 out of 4 Americans who are on long-term opioid prescription actually struggle with abuse or misuse of opioids.
So there has to be alternatives to opioids.
Brian, there are alternatives. Fortunately, there are pharmacologic alternatives such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen. And then even before you get on the medication route, there are certain alternatives you could pursue, including physical therapy, exercise, and cognitive behavioral therapy.
So for a person who's in severe pain, should they try these lesser medications first?
Certainly, in consultation with their physician, they should consider the alternatives, the risks and benefits. Amanda, though, if they do find out that opioids are the right route, then there are certain things that should be done. Namely, the lowest possible effective dose should be used for the shortest possible duration.
Yeah, because I would assume from a doctor's perspective, there's a reason why some people are just, you know, given some pills and said, kind of, see you later. It's they just don't want them coming back, like, what, within 24, 48 hours?
Again, Brian, opioids are very effective. And just to answer that concern, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has come out with a guideline. And one crucial part of that is that these patients on these medications do need to be closely monitored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for your testimony this week, and thank you for helping us understand this better.
The Park City School Board may order drug testing for high school students who participate in sports or extracurricular activities. The 2 students who died were in junior high, but the park record says there is a perception of widespread drug use in Park City. There's a belief in the community that many students use drugs like marijuana. The district has been shaken by last month's tragedy and promised to help solve the problem.
This conversation has been ongoing for a few years, and it was actually ongoing with a couple parents that had talked to me before, a few weeks before the tragic incidents a few weeks ago as well. But so what we're looking at is the potential or possibility of testing students that are involved in extracurricular activities. So be it a student athlete, debate, the kids that participate and compete in music or performing arts as well.
What kind of feedback are you getting from parents, Jamie?
Well, the feedback that I get as an activities director is all positive. We have gotten a few emails and other communications from people that have concerns. I think we're going to see both sides of it, and that's why we are exploring it. We do want input on both sides, as the people who are in favor of it and people who are against it. But from my vantage point, the students I've talked to and the parents I've talked to are very much in favor. I talked to a couple students yesterday. I pulled them aside and said, hey, give me your thoughts on this. What do you guys think? Is this going to help? Is it a good idea? I to this point, I haven't had anybody say it is a terrible idea, no. And since I've been in this job, I'm entering the 4th year here at Park City High School, it's been an ongoing conversation with parents that are concerned. So that's why we're looking at it and seeing if it's going to be the right thing for us.